give you the possibility to keep it up here. So this work will be based on these two works, and also now we are writing this Pedro review, so which will nicely summarize mostly what I will tell in this talk also. So a short story about my talk is the following. I would like to explain you what does these two structures mean, and these two structures were very popular last few years. And in particular, I will be focused on analytical part of structure of behind this picture. So in particular, it looks like this. And one of the reasons why I want to focus on the analytical structure, because you see it's quite complicated, and we have some beliefs that we can simplify all the story. So as a motivation, we can say that in the last decade, we learned how to calculate certain non-trivial quantities in one for special four-dimensional theory, and we learned how to calculate them at arbitrary value of a coupling constant. So it's very non-trivial result, and this is result is obtained in N=4 supernormals. So how we learn this? First of all, it was remarked by Maldacena that there is an idea safety duality between supernormals and string theory. So it is weak strong coupling duality. So first of all, we can study gauge theory for strong coupling using perturbation of string and vice versa. So in particular, so since N=4 supernormals is conformal theory, we're interested in studying local operators like this. These are fields of the theory, and study their anomalous dimension. By duality, they equate dual string states, just solution of classical string motion, and energy of these states should be give us this dimension. So later it was discovered integrability in the system in the following way. It was found that this operator can be seen as a spin chain, and this spin chain turned out to be integrable. And due to integrability, we have a possibility to study anomalous dimensions at arbitrary value of the coupling constant. So I will give you two basic examples. Very important that this study, not just we write some equations and we say, okay, in principle, we can solve them. Here we can go directly to some numbers. So first example is a cusp anomalous dimension. Well, it's a operator of this type, and in largest limit, when there are too many covering derivatives, it scales like this. And this quantity depends on the coupling constant. So after a great amount of different works, it was established this quantity was completely understood. So first of all, we have a numeric study due to this work, and we are able to perform V coupling expansion. These dots means these dots through the integrability can be calculated very far away, and up to four loops. The last loop where we can calculate perform perturbative theory, it coincides precisely with the gauge theory, and a strong coupling as well. We have very far away this expansion. And up to two loops is coincide with string theory results. So it's very remarkable proper check of integrability system. Another so important property of cusp anomalous dimension that here we studied large S limit. This particular meaning that we consider string theory in a large volume. In this case, we can apply what's called asymptotic Betanzatz, which is basically written in this diagram, and I will explain what it means later. And this is another example when we have a finite volume, it's a Konishi operator. It was a progress of recent 1 or 2 years, and we have already numerics due to this work, and we have V coupling. Well, now this is really the last time which we can know analytically, and it coincides with the gauge for this order, and here there is some, well, there is some check that's also correct. And at the strong coupling, we have no analytics at all, but we from this curve, it's possible to fit. So this result coincides with string theory, this not, but at this point, we have to ask, we don't really know. I mean, the system is very complicated, so it's for the moment, it's not obvious where is the mistake, or it's no mistake at all. So it's, we have still to study this quantity better. So the goal of my talk will be explain what are structures behind these calculations. And I will explain this on based on analogy with this principal chiral field model. So first of all, I will explain asymptotic beta ansatz for this model, which is depicted in this diagram. And then we built analogically beta ansatz for this, for the SDFT. And in particular, I will focus on analytical structure. Then we will build very schematically thermodynamic beta ansatz for description of finite volume for principal chiral field. And then I explain how, starting from here, pass here in a short way. So first part is the introductory part, how to solve principal chiral field model using asymptotic beta ansatz. A simplest way to write this model is notice that it's equivalent to O4 vector sigma model. So the action of this model is the following. So this is a sigma model with target space S3, which is, can be written as a cosine. How we cannot read this? To introduce this constraint explicitly, we use Lagrange multiplier. And since the action now is quadratic in N, we can integrate out N and get the following action. Then using subtle point approximation, we can see that mean value of lambda is non-zero, but equal to some M square. And this M can be written as lambda cutoff of the theory times some exponent of containing coupling constant. Note this coupling constant here is the denominator. So when it's small, this is exponentially suppressed expression. But since we have a cutoff, it goes to infinity. And at norm group property of the theory, M is finite quantity. So this is so-called phenomenon of dimensional transmutation. So we see finally due to this phenomenon, initial theory contains mass. So and we qualitatively can believe that any perturbation that will not change this qualitative picture. So in this theory, we have dynamic generated mass scale. And there is only one type of particle, which massive vector multiplet of all four. So this N is pulled from 1 to 4. Like a multiplet. Okay. It was shown by Polyakov that there are infinitely many conserved charges in this theory on the quantum level. And due to this, it's easy to show there is no particle production. And when particles scatter, we can only permit the momentum. The observation is very simple, it goes as follows. So N's conserved charge can be roughly written as sum of all momenta to the power M. So we have infinitely many constraints like this equal to the before scattering equal to this after scattering. And so there are many infinitely conserved infinitely many equations. So the only solution is trivial, that we have to interchange particles and momenta will conserve. So another property which comes from infinitely many conserved charges is factorization of scattering. So for example, we have three particles, we scatter them, we can write it in the following way. So it's only 2 by 2 particles scattered. Simple explanation is the following. When we act on this particle by high charges, for example, Q3, we can shift position of particles in the way dependent on momentum. So we can put this particle very far away from another, and which suppose the interaction is have some radius, we can always put it so far away that only 2 particles possible. So conclusion is that we know scattering process as far as 2 particle matrix. And we can completely fix this matrix due to the approach of the Zamolodchikov from the Zamolodchikov. So first of all, due to Lorentz variance, we can write in the following form. In terms of rapidities, we have only difference between 2 quantities. This is because when we make boosts, rapidity shifts by some constant, so we can always put theta 2 to 0. Then we have invariance under our IC2 cross IC2 symmetry, which means that only process we can have the following. Either particles go without interchanging of color, either interchange color. Other processes will not be invariant. So we can write matrix in the following way. And finally, we have Young-Baxter equations, which means that we can scatter it in this way on this way. And it's written as follows. And this equation finally will fix this arbitrary function of t. So at the moment, from the symmetry, we completely fix algebraic part of this matrix. And what is left is scalar factor. We will fix it later. But at the moment, I would like to say, if you know this matrix, how we can find spectrum of this. So since number of particles is conserved, we can use a first quantization language to describe scattering in terms of wave function. So with, for example, we consider 2 particles, we can go with incoming wave times some scattering matrix and outgoing. So Then, if you put the system on a very large cylinder, with L is very large, then you have to write periodicity condition. It will have the following form. Now, since this is a matrix, this condition actually is a matrix form, and we have to diagonalize it. Now, if you look on the algebraic structure of S matrix, we see that this operator looks exactly the same as the R matrix of XXX. So this means that we can apply beta on that, as a method beta on that. So actually, this is our wave function. We have many particles, and each particle is a, well, for example, we attack on the left S2 group, so it is representation spin or half. So it can be half spin up or spin down. So, so periodicity means that if you scatter with this particle over all the particles, I have only phase, this one. And that's what I want. And now I just want to diagonalize it. And I just notice that on the level of the spin, it's like a Heisenberg model. And there is standard processor of Betanzatz, which give us this Betanzatz equation. For a set of rapidities theta for particles, we can write Betanzatz equations for the additional parameter lambda. And it's exactly like XXX. The only reason that here theta is non-zero. In XXX, theta was zero. So then we have for left left SU2, we have one equation, the same equation for right SU2. And then periodicity condition will write on the following. So finally, we end up with set of Betanzatz equations, so on which we have can get rapidities of particles, and then obtain energy. So finally, once we know S matrix, we can find complete spectrum of the system. An important point that we have to consider this L is very large, otherwise we cannot say what is scattering of the particles, because this M times L should be large.
So M is the number of particles, and then K. So the point is the following. So to consider Betanzatz, we have to first consider all rapidity all spins down. So M K L, for example, will say how many spins we flip up. So K is number of spins up. So M minus K of the number of spins down. Okay, so we found Betanzatz, and the only thing that is left is to find this S zero. This S zero can be fixed using crossing condition. Crossing condition says that there is an analytical relation between particle-particle scattering and particle-antiparticle scattering, which should transform in the following equation. And let me give a very simple way to solve this equation. So let us introduce shift operator, which shift function by I over K. And let us introduce the following notation. F to the power of operator is equal to exponential whatever log F. Then this equation can be written in the following way. So we see A0 to the power d is this term. A0 to the power d minus 1 is this term. And this is minus d is this term. And d minus 1 shifts from EI over 2, it will be this term. So it's a short way to write this. Okay, and then we can resolve this. But so far, of course, we do not understand what does this mean. Because we can, this is operator, and okay, we have to understand what does it mean. To make a precise meaning of this notation, we have to say, we have to add additional point that there are no bound states in this theory, as we saw from the beginning. This means that scattering matrix cannot have poles in the physical strip. Physical strip is a theta going from this line to this line. So if there is a pole inside this strip, this means that system will have bound state. But it doesn't have, so we have to assume that there is no poles. And the only way to write interpret this operator in the way that there are no poles here is to write it in the following way. So if you treat D as a letter, this expression is exactly the same as this expression. But if you treat the operator, this guy, we interpret as expansion of positive power of D, and this guy, we interpret as expansion in negative power of D. The point to write it in the following form, that there is never theta to the power minus 1, which means there is no pole. So
finally, if we
make this expansion and use our definition of shift operator, we see this is the product of poles and zeros. And if we identify all the poles and zeros, we can simply see that this should be a gamma function. So there's infinitely many poles and zeros due to this sum. So this is a solution for Dresden factor. This zero is called Dresden factor. And finally, we completely pick S matrix. And since we know beta on that, we completely solve spectrum in that infinite point. This is our summary for the first part. And let me summarize what we did. So first of all, we assume the particle content of the theory, which is particle mode. Second, we made we show that there is a factorization of scattering, so we can write all the processes like this. Third one, conclusion. We have to consider only two particle matrix. Four, this matrix, algebraic part of it, can be fixed using symmetry. And analytic part of it can be used using physical equilibrium, crossing. Also, we have to use unitarity and particle content. And we get this expression. It's a good way to write gamma functions. Then, if you know this matrix, we construct, we require periodicity of the system on this cylinder. And finally, we diagonalize it by beta numbers. And find them. So this is a set of rules of the game. And in principle, can be applied for arbitrary integrables, well, for almost every integrable theory. And we will do the same now for the CFT correspondence. And instead of this diagram, we'll get this diagram. So what if, let us compare principal chiral field model with a CFT model. So principal chiral field model can be written as a model on the cosine. And the CFT string, I mean, string part of the CFT correspondent can be written as a following cosine. So we have type 2B string theory on the following super cosine. Bosonic part of it is ADS5 process. What is important difference? ADS5T sigma model is a string sigma model. What does it mean? Here, sigma model was a like a second quantized version of describing system. So when we write action, it doesn't mean that we have already some particles in theory. We have to do some creation and irrigation operators, and then we have quantum. Here, when we write action, we already said that we have string because we integrate in the action of the whole sheet of the string. So already when we write action, we say that there is some string moving in this big background. And this is a difference. So first of all, here we have to choose some string solution and consider it as the initial point. And the standard way to choose a solution is the so-called Bmn string. This is a BPS solution. And it is actually just a point like string, which circle around the equator. And the ODS5, it goes just over the time direction. Actually, you have to decompactify the time direction. So it has some momentum g. This is g, the parameter of the theory. And you can choose always parameterization when g will correspond to a volume of the system. So when g is large, volume of system is large. Since we choose non-trivial some solution of string theory like this, we broke our symmetry. Of course, this solution is not invariant under this group. So symmetry now is the following. It is analogic to the following structure. Here we have SU2, SU2, which is non-broken, and also we have Poincaré. Here we have PSU2, well, we have this object. So PSU2 slash 2 will be analog of SU2, and some central extension which we get is analog, is some reminiscent analog of Poincaré. Note that the Lorentz invariance was also broken by choosing this. So elementary excitation in the string language are oscillation around this Bmn solution. So imagine that you have a particle which rotates on the circle. Now you want to make fluctuations around this solution. And due to it rotates to the circle, it makes a centrifugal force. So you have some like a harmonic oscillator approximation in the first leading approximation. And so this oscillation will have mass. And here the same situation. We have fluctuation around this solution, and they have mass to the centrifugal force. There is no dimensional transformation in this story. But finally, group structure is very similar, and we can apply all degradability technique, and now I will motivate why can we do this. and we should get some signals. So let me make some small review about history of integrability in ideas. So first of all, integrability was observed classically on the string side by Banach-Plachinsky-Reuben on the classical level. It also was observed on the gauge height, one loop level, and partially at three levels in these papers. So then it was conjectured to hold on the quantum level as well, so between weak and strong cup. It was very long, many years story about how this conjecture was improved, how equation was written. And finally, we arrived with very many non-trivial checks. And finally, we can check integrability up, not prove integrability, but check integrability up to this order. After two loops on the string side and five loops on the gauge side, and there are also some non-perturbative checks. So it's somehow very solid background to believe that integrability exists in the model. And I would like to say that the sense of integrability is the same as the null-force sigma model, but for this string model. So, as was proposed by Staudacher, if to assume that integrability holds at the quantum level, let us apply bootstrap approach, like the Malochik and the Malochik of deep. So, and indeed, we can do this, as was shown by Weiser, and we can fix two particles matrix. Algebraic part of we can fix using symmetry of the system, and this scalar factor we cannot fix by symmetry, but I will show that we cannot fix by using some crossing generalization. So once we get this matrix, there is a standard Betanzat techniques, which allows us to write beta equations. Now, since the rank of the group is 7, well, it's not 7, actually, it's PSU2. PSU/2 is this 3 nodes. We have some beta equations here, do not write. And this is left PSU2. And this is massive node. So I write here equivalent with SO formula. And I wrote the only one beta equation for central node. So this is like analog of M cosh term, momentum term. And this is a beta equation. So this is a node itself. So this is some factor and dressing factor. And here we have interaction with 3 and also with 5. And then interestingly, in this model, we have interaction with 1 and 7. Well, actually, we have to put some lines also here. Like. So this is a set of Betanzats, and I will explain later what it means x here. But let me know that all this structure comes from the symmetry of the system, and this guy comes from the additional point. So this is called dressing factor, and what was history about this factor? So first of all, solution in terms of Betanzat without dressing factor was shown by Bazer and Staudacher. And then it was become evident in this paper that dressing factor is non-trivial. Crossing equations which fix this dressing, which constrain this factor, suggested by Yannick. And then in this paper, it was suggested a solution which might solve crossing. Then it was some useful integral representation. And during 2 years, there were many works and different directions which were using this conjecture by Weiser and Staudacher. And we get good experience how dressing factor look like. But one interesting point that it was never shown that it's really a solution of cross explicitly. So it was shown by Ritunov Frolov of 2009 that it's a solution of crossing. And at the same time, I showed how using crossing derive this conjecture. So we start just by crossing, and we have simple recipe how to derive. And now I will explain how to do this. But before, I have to explain what is this x value. So dispersion relation in the DCFT has the following form. It is non-relativistic as a solo relativistic invariance is broken. The best way to write this dispersion relation introduce so-called Zhukovsky variable x plus and x minus. Energy will be written like this, and momentum like this. And dispersion relation will be rewritten in the following nice algebraic form. If you look at this form, you see that it's natural to use rapidity u. It's direct analog of rapidity in O4 sigma model. And x plus x minus defined by shifts by I over 2. So this combination gives u plus I over 2, this u minus I over 2, so here I over g. We see this x is a So for each value of u, we have two values of x. So if we plot the u plane and this function on it, we have some cut. And so any point here will correspond to value of x bigger than 1 in this region. And but also, if you will cross the cut and go to the same point, we will go inside the circle. And we to the same value of u, we have some value of x which is smaller than 1. So nice small g limit is possible when we take always the branch cut of this expression such that we have absolute value of x bigger than 1. This is called physical region. So when we write all this expression, it means that we solve this equation using x-torial of this circle. And just to show you, beta and zats is all written in terms of x, and here always absolute value of x bigger than 1. But let us notice an interesting point. If we change x to 1 of x, I mean x plus to 1 of x plus, and x minus to 1 of x minus, sine of energy and sine of momenta becomes opposite. Why do we need? Let us notice that crossing equation is a relativistic case where I like this. And this is matrix, and this parameter here and here differ by I. And shift by I here, gosh. Okay, so it, here it should be cinch, sorry. So shifting by I, this expression changes sign of momentum and energy. So indeed, what crossing about? Crossing is about scattering particle-particle versus particle-antiparticle. So introduce shift by I corresponds to introducing antiparticle, change momentum. In a DCFT case, introducing of antiparticle will correspond to changing x plus minus to 1 of x plus minus because it's also changed sign. And actually, we have to define what does it mean by this transformation. We mean the following. Suppose we start at some point A at the plane u, and then we go over this contour, which cross this cut of x plus and this cut of x minus. Then we will change x 1 of x and we go to antiparticle. But it's important to know how to we went there. So we define some analytical continuation. And the crossing equation formulated by Yannick is written in the following form. So we have sigma, this is sigma evaluated at the point r, is a variable of u, times sigma evaluated by this analytical continuation, equal to some expression times the xy. Y is a Zhukov, sorry, it's x also here, it's a Zhukovsky variable for second parameter here, v. So this is a crossing equation. And now we are going to solve. So first of all, let us write down a set of conditions on a function sigma. It's an addressing function. First of all, we can decompose, and it was shown by inverse of Weiser clause and the return of Frolov and Staudacher, that this sigma can be decomposed in the following way. So it can be written as a pure phase. And then it can be written in terms of chi, and chi depends only one Zhukovsky variable, well, in two, but here it's only x, not x plus and x minus. Then we have to impose to chi the following condition. First of all, chi should be analytic in the physical domain, this one. It's like analyticity in the physical strip of sigma model. So this region here, chi doesn't have poles. But if you go inside the circle, chi may have problem, may have singularity. There are two singularities which we allow. First, are so-called DHM poles, which I show you what is it later. And second, there are some branch points which are required explicitly by crossing. But we require that there's only singularities which are present in this theory. So this should be inside this. And finally, we assume some asymptotics of chi at infinity. So it was shown in my paper that requiring this condition, we can uniquely solve crossing. That will be exactly what is a de-addressing factor. And in the work of Aritunov, Frolov, and as we show in our review, more explicitly, all these conditions can be have very nice physical motivation. So we, behind all these conditions, we have write some physical reason to have. So how we solve crossing? So we have this equation. One question we had to pose. This guy is very non-symmetric. Can we do it better? And the answer is yes. For this, we do interesting thing. We take this equation and we make analytical continuation of the whole equation over this constant. And then we come, to the point. What happened with this equation? Sigma of u and v becomes sigma y1, analytically continued over contour y1. And sigma cross, it's like this. Then we make y1, it becomes sigma y2, analytically continued over contour y2. And interestingly, when we make this analytical continuation, right-hand side becomes very nicely symmetric. There is an nice analogy in a four sigma model. It was remarked by Pedro that you see this non-symmetric expression. And its analog is the following equation. So like sigma is S of theta, sigma cross is S theta plus pi, antiparticle. And here is theta plus pi. Now analytical continuation like shift by minus I over 2. And we have very symmetric expression that we use to solve cross. Okay, so we have this equation. And now we can nicely write down even more nicely. So we have this decomposition in terms of chi. So we have ratio of sigma 1. Sigma 1, you see that here x plus minus x minus. So we can always write sigma of u with function ratio of sigma 1 of x plus over sigma 1 of x minus. And so when we cross over gamma 1, we have to put x minus to 1 of x minus. So we have this ratio. If we cross over gamma 2, we have to change x plus to 1 of x plus, and we get this ratio. And so crossing can be written like this. And using shift operator, we can write in very nice form. So we have product of two terms, td minus 1. And here also we have to make t plus t minus 1. It's very similar to what we have in our form. So we have this equation, and now we can directly solve it. So first of all, we have to invert this operator and correctly interpret what does it mean with this. And we'll get this function. Then here you see that we have x and 1 over x. Since x goes to 1 of x when crossing the cuts, it's like a Riemann-Hilbert problem. So we have function on two sides of the cut and equal to something. Solution of Riemann-Hilbert problem is known. That is, we use kernel k, which defines the following way. This is just the kernel k. It was engineered to satisfy this property. So k applied to function over the cut plus k applied to the function below the cut equal to function itself. So this is exactly what we want to have here, and we put this cat. And interestingly enough, this expression can be written like u minus v in the power of the same cat. And finally, due to this anti-symmetrization, we have additional shift operators. So okay, that's it. This is a solution of crossing equation. So we see that we have nice structure. Inside we have inverse of this operator, then we have, so I call it Joukowsky kernel, this guy, and then we have anti-symmetrization. So this is a solution. And let us, this is, I'm almost, well, there are still be more slides about technique, but then we come back to some nice pictures. So what is analytical structure of this object? So let us consider chi. Chi is what is inside without this vector on shift operator. This is this object. So kernel K by definition is a acting by function, give function which is analytic everywhere except on the cut. So chi is analytic everywhere except on the cut. But what happens when we cross the cut? By this condition, we pick up cuts from all these expressions. So remember that this is on the set of power series. So we have infinite number of shifts. And we have infinite number of cuts. So if you go outside of the physical shift, we have all these guys. Then we will cross this cut of this guy. We'll find this u minus v. And since we have to make power of all, exponent of all this, this will give right poles of zero dependent nodes. This is called DHM, the ring of normal models in a pole. And this is what we required from the beginning. Well, this pole is not correspond to any bound state. It just corresponds to some special Feynman diagram, as was shown by paper of Derek von Bolsena. So, and interestingly, when we solve the equation, we recover it explicitly. So it's a nice check also of this solution. So let us summarize the second part. So we learned how to solve crossing equation. And there is one more interesting piece. This was our beta analysis. Has some complicated form, but we can try it simpler. we can remark that this block, this guy, can be written in terms of kernel K and shift operator in the following nice form. So if you introduce shift operator and kernel K, it's like a rational function to the sum path. And these guys follow as well, it can be written the form. So conclusion, that beta equation in the Bayer-Schlodacher-Bayer-Zahn, this guy, can be written in terms of difference function u minus v, which is nice, in the power of rational combination of operators d and k tilde. And k tilde is only responsible to creating a kernel. Just to compare, O4 sigma model can be written as also some u minus v should be here to the power of rational combination of shift operator, no t. But except this t is very similar. Okay, so this was the first part. And in this part, we explain how to treat the system as an infinite volume, how to construct asymptotic beta. Now we have to go to, we will go to the second part. And in the second part, I will explain how to interpret, how to solve system in the finite volume. So for example, how people went to solve Konishi. For this, we first will consider finite Kirchhoff field. And we understand what this, does this mean. So why we cannot solve why by asymptotic Batanzas system as a finite volume? Because we just don't have enough space to scatter particles. But what we can do, let us consider the system on the torus. So we will compactify time direction and sigma, and let's make it Euclidean. Then we can write partition function in two ways, like trace of this guy versus trace of this guy. In first case, we consider Hamiltonian over space direction, in the second over time direction. And they should be the same because it's the same object. Then, if, for example, we want to find ground state of this guy, we have to take large R limit. So we uncompactify time and take this limit. And here, what we have? We have Hamiltonian of the system defined at the infinite volume, but we have system at finite temperature 1 over L. So due to entropy effects, this limit will correspond to free energy. So conclusion is that ground state of the system of finite volume is equivalent to free energy at the system of the infinite volume, but at finite temperature. And since for O4 sigma model, or principle Kirchhoff field, there is relativistic invariance, model in both, I mean, Hamiltonians in both directions are the same. So what advantage? We can consider still asymptotic beta and that because we have infinite volume, but now we have finite temperature. So we have some thermodynamics behind. So to calculate free energy at finite temperature, we need to know how to solve beta and that equations when there are many particles. So because we have some temperature, there are many excitations, so we have some make some effective description of this. And let me explain how to make this description. So let us take simplest scan where there is no polarization. So all spins are down. Then we have very simple equation for the beta. If you take the logarithm of this equation, you will write the following equation. And this corresponds to choice of the branch of the logarithm. So n is some integer. And for different rapidity t type can be different. And moreover, there are maybe some integers that correspond to rapidities and some other integers that do not correspond. So for each particle theta, we associate some integer in some arbitrary way, and these are particles. However, the same equation have a different kind of solution. So we keep particles in the sum, but we ask what are the thetas that solve equation for n different from green n. So there are indeed this solution, and the solution called holds. So one more. So solution corresponds to green n. I mean, this is a solution with enter to this sum for holds particles, and all other missing n are called holds. So we suppose that in the thermodynamic limit, this theta forms some continuous spectrum. I mean, theta changes slowly with changing integer. And it's a good idea to take derivative of theta. So we have the derivative. And here we have the following. We ask question on the interval d theta, how much n changes. So how much n changes correspond to how many have particles and holes in the interval d theta. So here, when make derivative of the n, we have density of particles plus density of holes. And this sum then replaced by integral. This k is derivative of the scattering matrix. So let us apply this guy to the x exponent chain. This simple pattern. When we apply to spin chain, we get the following integral. Well, we use this integral equation, and for k precisely for beta and z, and for p precisely for beta and z of x, we have the following equation. Now let us make a trick. We introduce instead of function rho the object which is called resonant. We integrate over support of a row with the following Cauchy kernel, and we get a function which analytic everywhere except on the support of this function, just by simple property of this integral. Similarly, we introduce resolvent for the holes. And now we take this equation, integrate this equation again with Cauchy kernel. So for example, from row we will get resolvent, and from row holes we'll get resolvent. But what is interesting, if we evaluate this expression for imaginary part of theta bigger than zero, then this guy becomes this. And this kernel, like a convolution form, becomes R resonant of theta plus I. So let us note. We started from integral equation. And by this trick, we got an integral functional equation with very simple properties. And again, it is nice to write this equation using shift operator, like this. So plus I over 2 will be d to 1 over theta, and this plus I correspond to d square here. So it's a very nice algebraic equation. We can make many manipulations. For example, we can divide by this guy. This is the source term, and here we have this expression. Can write this. And again, 1 plus d square is it's understood like a power series. Question, where did we see such formula already? We saw it in all four sigma model. This guy is precisely derivative of the logarithm of the phase of the all four sigma model up to the factor 2, because here we had only one polarization, but here we have two. So actually, we can consider not a four sigma model, but what is called Carroll-Gross-Navin model. Carroll-Gross-Navin model, scattering matrix just it has only left particles, not right. So it's term of epsilon, at zero in the power one. So if you would like to write integral equation like this for Gross-Navin Carroll model, we'll get precisely this equation. What does it mean? Let us take Heisenberg model and fill it with very many part elementary excitations. And then let us call this filling as a Dirac C. And hole in this Dirac C, so these holes, this one, we will call as now true particles of the series. And interestingly, in the limit, thermodynamic limit, when we can write this equation, we have the same equation which goes for Gross-Navin model. So basically, if you treat holes as a true particle, we get Gross-Navin some limit, and if it elementary excitation is true particle, we get XXX spin chain. So these are some two different descriptions and some of the same system. But of course, it's some limits, the thermodynamic limit, when we allow to write densities of particles. When we have discrete beta and that, of course, it's not true. So it's only some limit. There is a generalization of this observation for XXX spin chain. So beta and that for XXX spin chain is defined by Dynkin diagram of S. So we have Dynkin diagram, and let's consider spin chain in the representation with Dynkin labels, omega 1, omega 2, omega n minus. Then it can be shown that the general beta and that is written in the following form. So U has two indexes. Index A corresponds to the node of the Dynkin diagram. So we have n minus 1 types of beta roots. Then there are k for beta roots of type B. There are kb beta roots, I mean, for some solution. Kb can be different. And then, but on that, written the following form. Here we have Dynkin weight of the representation, and this is a Cartan matrix of the Dynkin. So for x6 spin chain, this will be, for example, 2. So here, u minus u prime plus psi, u minus u prime minus. So usual situation. So actually, this is string theory seminar. So now we introduce strings.
So at large n, each type of beta
root can be real or form or in the form of string configuration. So what that is that? So let us take some type of beta root. For example, for the first node, solution can be real. So this is this node, but it also can be some complex. And it turns out that the volume is very large. Most of the solution for organizes a kind of strings. These are called beta strings. So for example, we have for the roots, they're organized in the following way. They have similar, the same real part, and distance between the imaginary direction is I. So we can have strings of length 2, for example, 2 roots of x, 3, 4, like this, at arbitrary lengths. So, and the claim that most, at least all the physically relevant, I mean, low energy excitation, will be very nicely approximated by these strings. Therefore, let us introduce again density for strings of length S, formed from beta roots of type R, Dynkin diagram, and make corresponding to the result. So the claim is the following. If you make all the integral equations for this generalized system, all the integral equations can be written in very nice functional form. So here we have resolution for holes, and here we have resolution for strings. So, and here, see the so-called deformed Cartan matrix. So in usual Cartan matrix, and see instead of this guy, it will be 2, and here it's some operator. So infinity means here that this Cartan matrix goes to infinity, never stops, and here it means that it is bounded, and it has only size of the rank of the group. So interesting point that all the integral equation can be written in a very symmetric form. And this symmetric form is shown in the following diagram. So in this direction, we have interactions with this Cartan matrix between holes. This is this line. And the vertical direction, we have interaction with this Cartan matrix of particles. Okay, so now the point is the following. If we put inversion of Cartan matrix here, we'll get integral equation as we get it from x6 spin chain. But if for s equal 1, we put this Cartan matrix here, we'll get this expression. Black means that we put this Cartan matrix here for s equal 1. This means that we treat holes as two excitations. We'll get integral equations for Gross-Navier model with same group. So behind Gross-Navier and spin chain, we have very nice. And this is true when source term here is of the following form. So we consider spin of elementary spin, I mean, 1/2. Now, if we make a prescription of IDF Reschke-Tichin, namely, we take this S goes center to infinity, so we consider infinity large spin chain, then source term will be somewhere here. And now we have left wing and right wing. And we make particle form transformation in where this matrix, we obtain the following system. And this is precisely SUN cross SUN gross principal chiral field. So why did we need? Well, actually, we started from the thermodynamic Betandasta field. And we wanted to calculate the following energy. So the claim is the following. There is some black box, which I do not explain, which some machinery. And it says the following. If you start from expression of this type with some kernels, it's not necessary, should be Cartan matrices, but some kernels, introduce YAS in the following way, then the mind Betandas give us the following equations. So here we have some linear system, and here C goes to the power. So in some sense, similar to Lie algebra and Lie group. So we start from linear equation, explanation of our equation. And this is in a more precise form is known by system. And by system, we live on this domain because this equation is. And finally, we got this picture. This picture for the case when n equal 2. So here is un crosses un, here is 2 crosses un. Okay. Okay, now we almost can understand what does it mean this way. First of all, we now can let consider GLN slash M. This algebra described by so-called Katz-Dimkin diagram. This is fermionic, not this is bosonic. And we're interested first of all in the representation when we have only one Dimkin label on zero, it will be on the edge of this Dimkin diagram. We again can write beta equations. And similarly, there is a statement that if you introduce all the string configuration, and here we have some special configuration called stacks, and for example, pyramids, sometimes trapezia. Again, if you correctly do everything, we will get the same structure of equation. Sorry, here it will be now just C without any indexes, because now C lives on this shape, non-trivial shape. So, but now there is some rules how to write where are real roots of it were. So here are the densities for real roots of this equation. They have some non-trivial like position. And here there's some string stacks. So this is some general statement. It can be made a little bit more general even if we have label one of representation somewhere inside the Dimkin diagram. Then this guy from the right will get this guy, which is called fat hook. And from the left, it gets another guy, which is called fat hook here. And this guy also has string configuration that goes in this line. And again, there is a statement that this guy organized in the following way. And using black box of TBA, we can write by system on the following domain. So, what is idea CFT? Picture for the CFT is the following. And this picture corresponds for this Katz-Dimkin diagram. No, this is not. This knot is not gray, but white. So this is really PSU 2, 2/4. And representation is here. So we have the Dimkin diagram here, and we have this domain. So first time it was proposed in this paper. So what is the problem? Idea CFT is not exactly this diagram, but it's diagram of the following type. There are two things here. First of all, here we have Zhukovsky variable, but not rational by Tanzans. As you remember, I wrote it previously. And here also we have dressing factor. It's like a 4 sigma mod. So it's not exactly the same picture. So probably there is a logic behind it. The question, no, at least we don't know if it exists. So at the moment, we don't know if there is logic to write this guy in terms of the lexis. So do we have problems? Well, to explain if we have problems or not, let me make some technical details. It will be two slides, and then I come back to about our problems. So first of all, we consider TBA for IDA CFT. This is non-relativistic invariant. So Hamiltonian sigma direction tau is not the same. But mirror theory is also supposed to be integrable, and it has exactly the same symmetry, this guy. So we can construct S matrix, I mean, using symmetry, Young-Baxter, then crossing in the mirror theory, and I mean, make all the same stuff, and also solve the theory using integrability. It will be not the same symmetry, but very similar. What are the, so first of all, dispersion relation will be the same. The difference will be in the definition of what is momentum, what is Hamiltonian, and the most important here is the difference the following. In terms of Zhukovsky variable, I mean, U variable, branch cut of Zhukovsky variable, physical domain is a physical theory, was outside this domain. So absolute value of X was biggest. Difference of the mirror theory is that now we have to consider different cut, complementary to this, which corresponds to imaginary part of X bigger than zero. Equal zero is just this cut. So mirror domain corresponds to imaginary part of X bigger than zero. And basically, we have to solve everything, including crossing, imposing analytical condition, taking account this thing. In particular, we assume that chi of dressing factor should be analytic in this domain, but not in this. If you do this, what will be? I remind you that in the physical Betanzat we had the following building block. So this guy, and this guy. The only thing that changed in the mirror theory is replacing kernel k tilde with kernel k tilde mirror. So if k tilde was defined, the following integral over this cut, k tilde is exactly the same kernel, but we integrate over this cut. And here we change sign of square roots. So if we replace k mirror here, we get exactly Betanzat for mirror theory, nothing. For example, so finally building block for mirror theory will be this k mirror. So it was technical details about mirror theory. And now we come back to the question, is it valid or not this picture? So first of all, let us notice when Km is zero, and this is true at strong coupling, or some configuration in strong coupling, then the dressing factor will be one. So if it's zero, it's one. This guy will be also absent. This will be absent. So we get rational Betanzats like we showed before. And for rational Betanzats, we have T-hook structure, and we get this picture. Very nice. So we have this equation. We make TBA, we get this. So, but what is when is k not zero? Well, interesting point that when we derive this equation, we multiply it by some Cartan matrices to make it more symmetric. And every time the one term in the Betanzat will contain k tilde, it appears that it is zero mod Cartan matrix. So interestingly enough, when I apply Cartan matrix, all the k tilde disappear. So therefore, T-hooks really works. But here we have the point that when we invert all the kernel, we missed very many nice important properties of the system, like very cut-situated, for example. So this equation assumes very involved analytical structure behavior. It is as complicated as the structure of this. So it has the following structure. For some objects, there are only two cuts, but this cut stretch in different position. Finally, we have all of them, and some they have very complicated structure. So indeed, algebraically, Y system works, but we have to be careful with structure. And finally, well, analytical consideration of system can be done up to now in the situation when these cuts can be neglected or just make some small contributions. But for example, for Konichi state, when these are really important, there is no really analytical treatment at strong cup. However, there is numerical by Pedro and collaborators, so when we can solve really this. So it's a really complicated system, but however, we hope to manage this, because in the case of asymptotic Betanzats, all the analytic structures also complicated. They were found means to overpass and find analytic expressions. So let me summarize now. So first of all, we learned that relativistic integrable quantum field series are solved using the Betanzats. And for example, for a sigma model, the Betanzats has a following form. It is almost rational structure. So it's t minus lambda to the power of some shift operator. And here we have rational power. One thing to see this rational structure is to derive quantum field theory from Betanzats on the lattice, as I explained. So this explained to help us to see that, first of all, dressing phase of this theory is the inverse Cartan matrix. So remember, we inverse Cartan matrix in the integral equation. So basically, this guy. And second thing is that all integral equation organizes some nice T system. If to compare with CFT, we see that it is solved similar to the relativistic case, but the important difference. Well, it has almost rational structure. The only difference that we have this kernel. Otherwise, we have u minus v, k minus v, but it's almost the same. We have k tilde. And the dressing factor now has the following. So what is the difference, real difference between two things? First of all, dressing phase, this guy is not inverse Cartan. What comes instead is that this dressing phase is zero mod of Cartan. Well, basically, here is not matrix, of course, but if you include bound state, we have to put some indices, and we will contract it to be zero. Right. So first, second, there is no spin chain distribution like in the case of principal chiral field. Instead, since it's like a zero mode of Cartan matrix, and as we see from Young-Mills, a DFT system looks like a lot itself like a spin chain, also with very complicated structure due to this. Okay, so the question, how we can look on the DFT system? Well, first possibility, node reliant spin chain, everything is this. So basically, since we already, the T-hook was contracted, well, at least we had some prescription to calculate, we can say, okay, that's it, this is the end of the story. And, but what don't leave us happy is that you see this factor here. It's somehow hidden inside this transaction. It's always there. In particular, it should be, it's interesting if it should be used level consistency, it should appear. This factor here is very similar to this one, except for this plus and minus. So we really want to find the mean to invert it and get some rational situation. Probably this kernel K, but I mean, there is, will not be these denominators. So, for example, it was shown by Gromov and Kazakov that as a leading strong coupling, we can interpret this factor as a condensation of root on the some additional level, but it should be somewhere here. But it works only on strong coupling. If we try to generalize, we have some problems. But still, we can try. And then, okay. This inversion, suppose that there's some spin chain behind, and we can try Hubbard model because basically this retains is a Hubbard model. And also we have to try non-Hubbard models. Why? Because 1 plus d square, you remember it was a functional equation of x66 spin chain. It was in there. Here we have almost the same, but y minus d square. Question, what is a spin chain? Answer is L2 spin chain. But we cannot, I mean, there are additional problems with why we cannot come to this spin chain. Well, it's some technical details. So still we have, so I end this talk here, and this will be interesting point to realize. Can we simplify it? So thank you.
Questions? Okay, this is a rudimentary question, so. Is the information encoded in the TVA equations and the Y equations the same or not?
No. I mean, the Y equation is the algebraic. Okay, Y equation like this.
Yes.
It's like a statement about representations.
About what?
Statement about representations.
Yes.
So you have to supplement with very many analytical properties, infinity, and then it comes.
So TVA has more information.
Yes.
About this spin like on the states of bosons.
Yes.
Have they been related to the physical spin in some way?
No. It's completely different topic.
And is there some interpretation of why it's just they produce paths?
No. Okay. The interpretation is for. No, it's okay. First of all, string can be considered as bound states. Okay, here. So first of all, if you look, if you construct wave function for this object, we see that like a bound state propagating somewhere. And how we see this bound state? So when A is large, and the imaginary quantum field is bigger than zero, it's very large. And therefore, we have something large here. And this large here comes from pole in the denominator. So when C is 2, poles comes from different between relatively 6 side. So this pole is like a pole in S matrix. It's like a bound state, and this is exactly the same. So, okay? Well, that's our answer.
I think what Sergei is asking is what, for example, what this corresponds to in ADS5 plus S5. So a single magnon is dual, for example, to strong coupling to a giant, the so-called giant magnon solution, which is like a string, which is rotating in S3. And when you consider these bound states, where instead of just one particle, you put several particles, it's a string which is rotating in S3, but it has some other angular momentum. So it also has some other angular momentum, which is related to the number of particles that you put. So you have some, there are some classical solutions which are dual to this configuration.
You asked about this type of psi string?
Yeah, okay.
Yes, indeed, the Z string has some bound particle, bound states of elementary particle, which is the German.
And at with coupling, you have all these trace of these many Z's, and then you can put one X field, which is like a spin flip, which is like one excitation. And you can also have many X fields, which when you look at them, they are always moving close to one another, and this would again be a string. So it's a composite operator where you look at it and you see some blocks of, in this case, four X fields always together in this composite operator.
The string rotates in both this part.
I mean, in general situation, yes.
It is incorporated somewhere in this situation?
Well, in general situation, string rotates free. Okay. So, elementary solution like trace z to the power n. So, probably I wrote it explicitly. Oh, it's far away. So, when there is no total covariant derivatives here, and there are very many z's, this corresponds to a string. We just point like string. This is initial solution of the string. But if you want to stick rotating, for example, in ES, we have to add many covariant derivatives. So actually, first adding covariant derivatives corresponds to rotating string in ES.
Right, I understand that. But how do you, this is all known subject, how do you describe it in your Y system, this bound state, or whatever, this more complicated motion for the scale?
No, the idea is that it's a large for limit devices which should reproduce by transats. So if it reproduces by transats which corresponds to certain string, you suppose it will be really described by a string.
You're saying you a priori know which transats describes this particular string. And then, so what you're describing just some correction to this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there are no further questions, let's thank you, Marnie.